Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, and chapter 3, verses 3 through 14. In his message titled, An Understanding Mind, Reverend David Williams tells us that we can go through many different emotions during a normal day. We need to remember that God asks us to care for and show grace towards all people, no matter how we are feeling. Knowing how to do this is called wisdom. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. We move through our days, and at each of the moments of our days, we feel just a little bit different. We wake up in the morning, and we haven't had our coffee, and maybe we're the tiniest bit grumpy, and then we've had our coffee, and maybe we're the tiniest bit agitated, and then we're in traffic, and we're more agitated still. The challenge of our life is that at every moment, our feelings are a little different. But in every one of those moments, we are called to remember that our purpose is to care and to love for others, is to show justice to others, is to be merciful to others. And in the fluttering vagaries of our emotional life, it's easy to drift away from that. Right now, let's admit that we can be affected by that. Let's admit it through the prayer of confession that we will pray together. Please join with me in the praying of it. Gracious Lord, we move through countless little moments in our lives. They flutter by, and we pay little attention, and we move on. But those instants of life and those simple moments count. How we choose to live them matters. How we act in every moment defines our relationship to both you and our neighbor. As we are called to live as your children, governed by the love we have learned from Christ, we can't let ourselves forget this. Remind us, Lord, that the little things count. Help us find your wisdom, and help us choose the good. Help us, gracious one, because we are so easily distracted. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Hear now the assurance of pardon. Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save us. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might be dead to sin and alive to what is good. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we're forgiven. Amen. Our third scripture reading for today is drawn from the book of Kings. I'll be reading from 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, and then chapter 3, verses 3 through 14. That's 1 Kings chapter 2, 10 through 12, and chapter 3, 3 through 14. You can find that and follow along on page 304 of your Pew Old Testament. Let's now listen for God's word. Then David slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. The time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, only he sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart towards you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern this, your great people? It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life, or riches, or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Vacation. It's still on my mind because yesterday I was on a lake after having been at the ocean. And you just don't lose that right away. My head is still there, and it seems like vacation is just such a simple thing. You know, it's such a straightforward concept. You go somewhere. It's away. And what you bring with you is nothing but that which is most precious and important to you in your life. You know, that and 5 cubic yards of material possessions packed into a dense mass in the back of your groaning vehicle, every last thing but that you have to have with you so that you can leave it all behind. You get to your destination, and then, you know, then it's only about, usually it's a half hour to 45 minutes to unpack, you know, like playing minivan Jenga, each piece having to come out carefully so as not to dump the entire load out of the back of your vehicle in a tumbling avalanche of bags and cases and boogie boards. It's vacation. And vacation is, by definition, vacatio, from the Latin. And that means to be empty as your mind becomes after zenning out on a sandcastle for 4 hours. The word is related to vacuum, which hopefully was not one of the things you felt compelled to pack. But as full as our vacation vehicles are, I wonder, as I'm vacationing, if that vacatio is something we're even capable of anymore, because vacatio is by definition freedom, and freedom that comes from just setting absolutely everything aside. All of it is set away. And in that setting away of all things, we are meant to rediscover ourselves, rediscover our heart. I don't know how well we do that now. Because yes, there have always been ways that work intrudes onto those times we are meant to be taking away. In my childhood, there were a variety of vacations that were cut short because the Home Office had managed to find out where my father was, and then suddenly we were headed back home because something needed to be done. But that feels so much easier now. Vacation isn't, because your work is right there with you, and it's not just your work. The life that you have left behind as you set yourself into this new place, that really isn't behind anymore. It's right there on your laptop or on your tablet or on your little pocket devil box. And all those things you were doing before and all those conversations you were having before and all those energies that were there before are still present as you text and you Snapchat and you message and you Instagram your way through the moments of vacation, at least as I observe my teenage boys. And it's not like I'm any different. You know, I used to read at the beach. I would always read, devouring books, disappearing into whatever little corner I could squirrel away to spend time in that world of that narrative. But for some reason, the last couple years, yeah, I'm reading, but as soon as I'm done, I'm right there onto my laptop to share my review on Goodreads because, you know, that's what I do. Or if I'm going down to the beach to build some like weird totemic sand sculpture with like little heads and things all over it, you know, what I need is different. You know, it used to be all I needed was a sand shovel, several small shovels, an array of carving tools, two large buckets to get that exact sand and water mixture. But now I need my smartphone to make sandcastles too, apparently, because, you know, I want to share it. You know, I've got to take the pictures of it, and then, you know, I set it down, and then I come back I'm at the beach, but every quarter hour I'm looking at the phone. How many likes do I have? It's peculiar, because I'm not vacated. And I enjoy that. I like seeing what others are doing, but, you know, I'm a chronic Presbyterian overthinker. I just have to say, is this really technically, according to the Latin root meanings, vacation? You wonder that. Because this new form of communication we have, this new way of connecting with one another, means that the images and thoughts that we're having in whatever moment, in whatever place we find ourselves, can always be shared and offered up to and connected to those around us. And so we take the images from our lives, we take memories that are occurring at the moment they're occurring, and boom, boom, we can share them with everyone we know. And that can be a good thing. It can. It lets us share joys, it lets us share sorrows, it lets us celebrate or lean on the collective shoulder of our friends when hard things are weighing us down. And that can be good. I mean, that was the goal. That was the hope at the beginning of the internet era, that this would be a time where we would create this new sense of connection. We would be mutually aware. Mutual understanding would blossom like a field of sunflowers as we learned more and more about one another. We would participate in each other's lives, and those petty bigotries and miseries of our isolated, separate existence would come apart in the dawn of the net age, a new and wonderful paradise, an era of mutual understanding. But it hasn't always worked out that way. Connection can make us more anxious. It can deepen our sense of always needing to be around others, always needing feedback. It can deepen our sense of isolation from one another as we focus only on those interests that we have. It can connect us with those places of social stress in a way that doesn't let us escape them, where they are always on our mind. We are never free of them. And that place we find ourselves is a place where the wisdom tradition has things to teach us. Each of the texts that we shared today sings a song of wisdom, as it expresses itself in the journey of life and faith. And wisdom, first and foremost, is about our ability to understand what is the best path for bringing life into balance. What is it that will bring the most happiness to ourselves and to those around us? The first reading we heard this morning was from the book of Proverbs, that ancient collection of teachings about how to live the most sane and just life. And what it was this morning was a song to wisdom itself, wisdom as it's expressed in the writings of Scripture, is almost always conceptualized as a woman. And here we have this passage where Lady Wisdom herself, having created this perfect household, opens up her doors and sends out her serving girls to anyone who will listen and says, come into this place and share a meal, with the meal being symbolic of wisdom itself. Come share in this life with me. Anyone who wants it can have that as part of themselves. And that yearning for wisdom continues into the era of the new church as we hear that snippet from the church at Ephesus, that call to live wisely and in balance, which is taken up by the early church. The author of the letter to Ephesians, which probably wasn't Paul, encourages those first walkers of the way to realize that wisdom means they're going to have to step outside of the flow of the culture around them. All around them, Roman society moved in a way that was violent and decadent in ways that we, I don't think, can quite grasp. And it said, this energy, this anxiety around you, be wise. Pull yourself away from that. Be radically and fundamentally countercultural. Because in that culture, everything was about power. And power was most about social connection. In Rome, what made you powerful was how many people depended on you, how many people were connected to your authority, who knew you, who owed you a favor, and who did you own? It was a hard place and a hard culture, and Ephesians says, set yourself outside of that and into a more gracious and measured and loving place. And what those early Christians were being asked to prioritize was the kind of power that we hear referenced in 1 Kings. Here we get the story of Solomon. Here Solomon, the son of David. The son of David by Bathsheba. So maybe his birth was not the wisest beginning. He is the second and the last of the kings who unified the Jewish people. And in the ancient world, what you looked for most in a leader, what was the most important characteristic of someone who was in power, was not their desire for power. It was not their desire for wealth. It was not their desire for riches. It was not their desire for control. The single most desirable leadership characteristic was the ability to, in a careful, measured, and thoughtful way, determine the best possible path for a people. That didn't happen very often, but it was the goal. It still doesn't happen very often, but it is the goal. We should remember that these next 12 months or so. And what we hear in this story about Solomon is that Solomon has a dream. It's a peculiar dream because of what it is and where it happens. The one criticism the author who writes Kings, known as the Deuteronomic historian, has of Solomon is, yes, he follows in the statutes of David, meaning he follows the covenant of Israel, but he also offers incense at the high places, and those were the sacred places that weren't the temple. They were sacred to the Jewish people, but they weren't the temple, and therefore you didn't want to be there. And yet we hear he goes to this place that he's not technically supposed to go, offers up an offering, and there has a dream. What is that dream? He encounters God, and God says, ask what I should give you. I don't know if any of you have had dreams like that. generally you're like, wow, I don't know, cool. But Solomon's reply as the storyteller exchanges is not that he wants armored limos and personal chefs and the trappings of wealth and his own private helicopter. What he wants is an understanding mind, the capacity to know what the best course of action is in any particular circumstance. What that indicates in this story and wherever wisdom manifests itself is that what is most important in life is not that hunger for power or that hunger for affirmation, not the desire to be more charming or to have more acclaim, but the ability to choose rightly in whatever place we find ourselves. And as we find ourselves in this place where we are all strangely much more interconnected, wisdom in this time is doubly important. Because what does this new media do to us? What effect does it have? It can, if we are not careful and not wise, it can make us much more reactive, much more impulsive, because it is instantaneous. It seeks to turn our attention to what it is that is happening right now. What are we supposed to be excited about? And everyone's excited about it. What is it that we are supposed to be outraged at? And we are all filled with outrage, and there's a puppy, and aww. You know, it wants us to feel giant, great, feely feels right now, and we are supposed to be weeping tears, and we are supposed to be laughing, or lolling, or however you say that. And as we engage this new form of communication, wisdom reminds us that we are meant to be deliberative, considering our actions and considering how we respond to things before we do it immediately, or before we pass along something just because it makes us angry. A wise person, as Proverbs 11:12 reminds us, keeps their peace. They consider carefully the impact of a thing that they are saying or sharing before they say or share it. Social media can do other things too. It can be that place where we can surround ourselves only with people who believe exactly as we do. We can create whatever echo chamber we choose. And that means that we will only hear back, fed back to us over and over again, exactly the things that we already know. We will never be challenged. Our hardened social and political positions will just get harder and harder and harder, and it will become impossible to approach other people graciously. Wisdom resists that. The heart of the wise is being able to listen to a challenging perspective, consider it, and then change if change is necessary. And that is not something that social media drives us to do. Because honestly, it can become little more than just full-on virtual mobbery. It's filled with passions that are passed among people that allow us to be easily manipulated, and it's always there. If you're at the beach, it's there. If it's at the lake, it's there. It can always be present. And it magnifies itself, because there's no better way to get attention than to stir fear, than to make people more anxious, than to create discord or establish tension, because that's what gets people sharing and gets people commenting, and it becomes this endless fractal Fibonacci sequence of manufactured umbrage and trollery. Wisdom tells us to be careful around that. Wisdom says, be wary of dangerous company. Don't spend a lot of time around people who really like picking fights or finding someone to attack. that creates mob mentalities, that creates a strange form of power that strengthens injustice and assumes that the person who can rouse the most rabble is the person you should be listening to. Wisdom steps back. It says, all of those influences around you, don't let them consume you. Wisdom, understood, at least according to the Latin meaning of vacation, is kind of always on vacation. It always has that vacation mind set aside from the agitation, set aside from the tension. And as we engage and are engaged by this new form of media, it's important that we listen to this tradition from our sacred story, as it speaks in Torah, as it speaks in the writings, as it speaks in the Gospels and epistles. Because the witness of wisdom in every age is essential. Seek that understanding mind. Be willing to let yourself be emptied of the anxieties that the world pours into you. The mob panic, the anger. And let yourself instead consider your every action and respond in person and wherever you may have exchange with grace and deliberation and thought. Let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
It has, in the history of humankind, never been easier to know things, ever. We can know exactly what's happening anywhere at any moment within seconds of it happening, and then we can share that with our friends who share that with their friends who share that with their friends. And that's new and that's exciting and that can be good, but it's also something we need to be careful around. We need to show wisdom with. Because it can be hard to escape that, to escape the din of those inputs, to escape every friend you're in contact with being all anxious and angry about the same things to the point where you can't think about anything else. Wisdom is a gift from God, and wisdom says, step back and breathe and let yourself act in ways that honor your true purpose. And so as you move through life, as you move through this new social world, remember to take that step back, to allow yourself to reflect and be gracious in all that you do, whenever you do it. That is our calling, both here in the physical world and on Instagram and on Facebook, and if you're making a vine, and no matter what you're doing, remember that it is our call to be gracious. Go out. It pops out right there. It's just everywhere, all the time. Remember to go out and let yourself be wise, gracious, and governed by your primary purpose. That's our way. Let's walk that together. So now, let the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.